I want to welcome you to our World Mission Day at Green Acres. I want to welcome all of you in Crosswalk Celebration Green Acres South. Open your Bibles, please, today to Romans chapter 15, verse 17, because today I'm going to be talking about going where Christ is not known. Now, while you're turning in your Bibles to Romans 15, I do need to just start today reminding you every Sunday for the next 6 weeks, because believe it or not, Christmas is 6 weeks from today. And guess what? It's on a Sunday. So what are we going to do? Now, we're going to tell you so many times that nobody will have an excuse on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to say, what's our schedule again? Here it is. We're offering three wonderful Christmas worship experiences, full worship services on Christmas Eve, 6 p.m., one full worship service in here, music, singing, preaching, one service in a crosswalk, 6 p.m. Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas morning, at 11:15, one service only right here in celebration. It'll be the same service that we did on Saturday night. So you can come to any or all of those if you want to. And no Sunday morning Bible study on Christmas Day. So be making your plans to be a part of our wonderful Christmas celebration. You know, as in celebration worship a while ago, we were singing that wonderful song, I Need Thee Every Hour. I've just got to tell you, I was such a terrible kid growing up that my mother kept a hickory switch over our stove. And there was a little placard that said, I need thee every hour, I need thee. And for years, I thought he was talking about that switch. It was only years later that I discovered that's a hymn, you know. So that's about how often she needed that switch to take care of me. You know, when we have world mission emphasis at Green Acres, it's a little bit unusual because every day of the year, 365 days a year, is a mission activity and mission emphasis at Green Acres. I don't often ask you to do this, but today, as I'm talking to you, I want everyone to take your worship folder. Take it in your hand and open it. And as I'm talking, I don't mind you sort of glancing down and seeing some of the great words that are there about being His heart, His hands, His voice. Because today I'm going to be challenging every one of us to do more than we have ever done before to take the gospel to the nations. Now that's what the Apostle Paul did. And of course, he is considered the first great missionary. And I want you to see how global was his vision. I want us to start reading in Romans 15, verse 17. If you have your Bibles open there, you're welcome to stand with me as we read this portion of God's holy word. Romans 15, beginning in verse 17. And next week, I will resume our Galatians study. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel, here it is, where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, and he quotes Isaiah 52, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That's the heart of missions. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. He's writing to the church at Rome. But now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I've been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so, look at this, when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the vision you gave to the Apostle Paul to reach the ends of the earth, and may it be the same vision we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. You can be seated. Did you notice that there are three locations that the Apostle Paul mentions in this passage of Scripture? He says, I started at Jerusalem. That was the epicenter of the church, where the church was born on the day of Pentecost. And he said, I went all the way to Illyricum. Now, you know where that is? That's in Eastern Europe, what we used to call Yugoslavia. Today, we call it Croatia, Albania. And that's how far he had already gone. But you know what he said? He said to the folks in Rome, he said, you know what? You're just a bypass. I'm going all the way to Spain. Now, I want you to think about the world view during the time of the Apostle Paul about 57 AD. They thought the world was flat. And that was literally the uttermost ends of the earth. They really thought if you sailed past Spain, you would fall off the edge of the earth. But you know what Paul said? That doesn't bother me. I'm going to the ends of the earth to take the gospel. And I love that missionary spirit, and it is the same missionary spirit we have here in our church. And so today, as I challenge you, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, ask God to give you a global vision. Ask God to give you a heart, a vision for the nations. And the way you do this is by having just a clear understanding of who are the people that live in this big world that we share with other people. Well, first of all, let's talk about a little bit about world population. As you are probably aware, just this past fall, the United Nations announced that our population has now surpassed 7 billion people. And our International Mission Board has divided all of the world into 9 affinity groups, one of which, by the way, is deaf people. And it all the way from the Americas to Europe to Southeast Asia, people that share cultures but not the same location. And there are 11,000 people groups, what we call ethno-linguistic groups around the world who share a common language or a common culture. Now, we've got to stop thinking about borders and nations. You know why? There are more Filipinos outside the nation of the Philippines than there are in the Philippines. There are Chinese living in America and in Argentina and Brazil. There are Russians who live in the Ukraine, and there are Russians that live in Canada. So all these people groups are all around the world. So we've got to think in terms of these ethno-linguistic groups around the world. Now, 7 billion people. Wow. By the way, did you know it took the world up till 1804 to reach the first billion? Before 1804, there wasn't a billion people on the planet. It took only from 1804 to 1927 to go to 2 billion. And then it was 4 billion by 1972. And we can all remember about 2000, 11 years ago, when we said the population is 6 billion. And now 11 years later, the population is 7 billion. So who are these people? You've probably heard this before, but if you could condense 7 billion people down into a village of 100 people, think about what they would look like. If we could condense all the world into a village of 100 people, here's what they would be. 61 of them would be Asians. 14 would be Africans. 12 would be Europeans. Only 8 would be North Americans. 5 would be South American and Caribbean. What about religions or faith? Only 33 members of the village would be Christians. 21 would be Muslims. 14 would be Hindus. 6 Buddhists. 12 would be other religions, 11 would be non-religious, and only 3 atheists would live in that whole village. What about the socioeconomic level? 43 of the people in the village have no indoor plumbing. 18 of the people in the village have no clean water source. 14 people in the village, mostly children, are malnourished. 12 of them can't read. Only 8 of us in the village, only 12 of us in the village own a computer, and only 8 of us have internet access. So when you start thinking about the world, you know, most of the world doesn't look like us. Most of the world doesn't act like us. Most of the world does not have the blessings that we have. I read this the other day, that if you then categorize yourself, if you keep your food in a refrigerator, you sleep in a bed, you have clothes in a closet, and you have a roof over your head, you are wealthier than 75% of the world's population. That's the world that we live in today. Well, what about access to the gospel? Because that's the key. Now, we have churches on every corner, Bibles galore, but what about the others? They have no access to the gospel. That's what we know, because of these 7 billion people, are you ready for this? 2 billion of those people and about 6,000 people groups have little or no access to the gospel. I mean, it's almost, can I use this word? It's almost obscene how many churches we have in America when there's just such a lack of churches around the world. I mean, open your phone book to churches and just read about how many churches there are. How many Bibles do you have in your house? I started counting this week how many Bibles I own in my study. I have 32 Bibles in my study, and you know what I determined today? I'm going to give some of them away. I'm going to actively give them away to people who need Bibles here in East Texas. How many Bibles do you have? And we're talking about 2 billion people on this planet who have no access to Bibles, no access to church, no access to the gospel. Well, that's a global vision. You got to have a vision. But then the second thing I'm going to ask you to do is to join God in His global strategy. Join God in His global strategy. Now, you know, the thing I love about this church is Green Acres has always had a heart for missions. Green Acres has always responded to a challenge. For instance, I was looking back at a message I preached 12 years ago. We weren't even in this building. And this is what I said 12 years ago. And I'm going to quote myself. Is that okay? We are told in China there are over 1,000 cities where there's not a single church, not a single gospel witness. There are few churches that can do what I want Green Acres to do. As we approach the 21st century, I want to challenge our church to find one of those cities in China of at least 100,000. Now, that's a joke. I'll explain it. 100,000 people where there is no gospel witness, and we will adopt that city and plan and work to evangelize that one city in China. I don't know where it is. I don't have a city picked out. We need to pray for God to show it to us. And you know, 12 years later, God did show us a city of Chujing. And it's not 100,000 people. You know why? 100,000 people in China is a village. It's a rural village. Chujing has 2 million people. And when we went there and chose them as a partner city, they had absolutely zero gospel witness. No missionaries, no Westerners live there. And so as you know, over the last 12 years, God has blessed us. We've sent dozens and perhaps hundreds of our people there. We've had the Chinese come and visit our church and visit Tyler. We've had the students in our homes. And as a result of that challenge today, there are believers and there are missionaries in the city of Chujing because our church responded to that challenge. And this church has always responded to the challenge. So here's my question today. What am I asking you to do today more than you've ever done before? Well, there are 3 things I'm going to ask you to do. Number one, I'm going to ask you once again to pray. That is the most important thing you can do. And there are 3 groups that I think you can pray for. First of all, I'm going to ask you to pray for our missionaries. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention has roughly 10,000 full-time missionaries. About 5,000 of them are international mission board missionaries. And by the way, over 50% of our missionaries now are serving in closed countries, which means they're not there as missionaries. They're there as teachers, they're salesmen, technicians, and they're doing mission work underground because it's not allowed. So we need to pray for them. And about 5,000 of them are North American missionaries doing everything from planting churches to chaplains. We need to be praying for our missionaries. By the way, folks, I just can't say again how important it is for us to pray. And I just want to say again, we have an amazing facility, the Upper Room Prayer Ministry, which is the 3rd floor of the Crosswalk Conference Center. And I go up there every now and then and pray, and it breaks my heart that when I'm up there, nobody else is there. You know, we've been praying for revival in our church. You know, when we know that revival has come to our church, it's when any day of the week you go up there to our prayer center and it is packed with people praying for missionaries and praying for people that, who have needs. And there's plenty more prayer needs and prayer requests up there than we have people to pray. We need to get serious to start praying for our missionaries. I said there are 3 groups to pray for. Number 2, let's pray for more missionaries. More missionaries. You know, that's what Jesus said when he was speaking to his disciples and he sent them out. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, I heard a song years ago that has never left me. Just one phrase of the song. It is almost as if God is singing to the church and he says, "My house is full, but my field is empty. My house is full, but my field is empty." I said there are 3 groups to pray for. Pray for our missionaries, pray for more missionaries, and number three, I just had a Governor Perry moment. Help me out there, broadcast. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Pray for the lost, number three. Pray for the lost. You know, God has the lost on his heart, and we should have the lost on our heart. If there's one verse that everybody in this church knows, is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's the world of everybody, all 7 billion, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, if there's a prayer that you ought to pray for yourself, it ought to be, God, break my heart for the lost. Break my heart for lost people. Because, you know, sometimes we can fall into the trap as Christians of just sort of feeding our own selves, taking care of our own selves spiritually, while there are billions, plural, of people who haven't even heard the name Jesus used in the right way. I heard a story, kind of a humorous story, about a lady who had taken a first aid class, and in the series of the class, they were given testimonials about how they were able to use their first aid experience. And this lady said, wow, I got to use my first aid training just the other day. A car ran off the road and ran to a big tree right in our front yard, and I ran out on the front porch, and the door had come open, and somebody had fallen out of the car, and they were bleeding. And she said, immediately I knew what to do. I put my first aid training to work, and I sat down, put my head between my knees so I wouldn't pass out. That's a little humorous, but the truth is sometimes that's how we are taking the gospel and just spending it on ourselves, using the truth on ourselves instead of sharing the truth with others. I said there are three things I'll ask you to do. Pray. Number two, I'm going to ask you to give. That's right, to give. And there are several ways we can give, and I'm happy to say that our entire Southern Baptist Convention with 44,000 churches, our goal this Christmas season to give to missions, it's called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Our goal this year is $175 million, which is about 50% of the entire budget of the International Mission Board for 1 year. And so it is very important that we give to that. In fact, I grew up hearing about the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. We don't hear about Lottie much anymore, you know, but that's what we do when we give to foreign missions. We're giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. I grew up in South Alabama thinking that Lottie Moon was a widow who lived in the neighboring town, and every year we were just taking up some money to help her out, you know. It was only later that I learned that Lottie Moon was a famous missionary who in the late 1800s, as a single woman, unheard of, went to China. 4 feet 11 inches tall, barely 90 pounds, but she did something that missionaries had never done. She didn't ask them to dress American or act American. She learned the language. She dressed like a Chinese woman. She understood the culture. And a result of little Lottie Moon working for 29 years, thousands of Chinese women came to Christ. And at that time, people would just send her money. And one Christmas, she asked, could they send her $2,000? And a number of Southern Baptist churches pulled together and sent her $3,000. And today, our goal is $175 million this Christmas season. Here's what Lottie wrote as she wrote to the Christians back in America. She said, is not the Christmas season the most appropriate time to send forth good tidings of great joy into all the earth? Because it is when families and friends exchange gifts in honor of the one gift that was laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race. Thank you, Lottie, for your inspiration has raised billions, billions and billions of dollars to take the gospel around the world, and we're happy to be a part of that. Second way you can give, not only to the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, the way you do that, though, is by giving to our GABC World Mission Offering, because part of that is going toward the International Mission Board. And our goal this year, once again, is $500,000. And this is what I've asked you to do for many years. I've asked you to consider making the most extravagant Christmas gift this year to Jesus by giving a gift to missions. I read a statistic this week that I didn't believe. In fact, I was asking some of the people in the broadcast about it before the service. I said, I read this week that the average American family will spend this Christmas season on Christmas $1,200. That's decorations, that's lights, that's gift, that's food, $1,200. And some of you spend a lot more than that, and some of you spend a lot less than that. And I got to thinking, what would happen? We have a lot more than 1,000 active families in Green Acres. What would happen if 1,000 families gave $1,200 to world missions? We would have $1.2 million given to missions. I mean, you know, some Green Acres members aren't here today because they're attending their other church in Dallas, Jerry's church. Think about how much a group of four, family of four, spend go to a Dallas Cowboys football game, probably over $1,200. And I'm just saying, if you could think about and pray about sort of cutting down on how much you spend on Christmas for each other and say, you know what, we're going to be unselfish and we're going to give to missions this year. Now, I want you to look right now in your worship folder, turn it over, or find the part that describes how our world mission offering is going to be divided. And then you just think about how important it is for you to give, because we divide that money and give it to World Missions, International Mission Board, to state missions, to North American missions. And then we provide funds to send Green Acres missionaries all around the world this year. So I do want you to take a moment and say, what, God, would you have me give to make the most extravagant Christmas gift this season to you? I said you can pray. I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to give. And number three, I'm asking you to go. Well, I'm not asking you to go. Jesus has commanded us to go. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You're familiar with this. I preached on it as we were finishing the parables and miracles. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, which is ethnos. Not nations with borders, but people groups. Baptizing them. You know what? I think the word them is the most important word in this verse. Baptizing them, lost people, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. What are we going to do about them? To obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know how you judge a church? You don't judge a church by its seating capacity. You judge a church by its sending capacity. And Green Acres is known as a church that every year sends at least 1,000 of our members on some kind of short-term mission project. And I just want to tell you some of the opportunities you have to do that. For instance, I want you to look again in your worship folder and look on that one page that lists all of the mission projects for Green Acres Baptist Church in the year 2012. And as you look down that list, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, is there one of these mission trips that you'd like for me to be a part of? How can I be a part of this? And not only do we have that kind of mission work, but as I've already said, you can be working at Good Sam Outreach, which is local missions. You can be a part of our gospel village with Dixie Elementary School, and that is mission work. The main thing is, will you go somewhere? Now, I'd like for everybody to listen to me, especially young people, for a few moments. You can also go through the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. You say, well, don't I have to have a, you know, religious degree and theological education? Absolutely not. There are several opportunities for people who are willing to go for 2 or 3 years sent by the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. There's something called an International Service Corps. You have to be over 21 and you go for 2 or 3 years. And there's another thing called Journeyman, which is for recent college graduates who give 2 years of their lives to go somewhere sent by the International Mission Board to work as a missionary for at least 2 years. And by the way, I have a friend in Dallas who's a businessman, and his granddaughter who just graduated from college is going as a journeyman to East Asia. And he was telling one of his friends who was an active member of another church that has what they call kind of independent mission support, not Southern Baptist. My friend was telling this other guy, he said, well, my granddaughter is going as a journeyman missionary to East Asia. And his friend said, well, how long did it take her to raise her support for 2 years? My friend said, about 30 minutes. And this guy said, what do you mean? He said, all she had to do was fill out the application to the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, because the money we give every Sunday, did you know, folks, every Sunday when you give to the budget, 20 cents of every dollar you give, we're giving to missions. And this world mission offering that we give to the International Mission Board, the Lottie Moon, that's going to support not only career missionaries, but these International Service Corps. You don't have to raise your support. Journeyman, you don't have to raise your support. There's even a program called Masters for adults over the age of 50 who have pretty much retired and they want to give their service for the Lord. And the skills that you already have can be put to use around the world. Here's an important website if you want to look up more information about this. It's very simple. IMB.org. IMB.org. Simple to look. You know, there's other ways you can go. In fact, you say, I can't go. I don't have the health to go. I don't have the freedom to go. Well, you know what? The amazing thing is today you can go just by going to your computer. Because our church is part of a fantastic evangelistic opportunity called Global Media Outreach. And you're not going to believe some of these numbers, but you know, in Green Acres, we have 21 global media outreach missionaries. In other words, they do their mission work online. There is a global media site around the world that receives sometimes a million hits a year. Now, from January to June of this year, you know what happened to our missionaries here in Green Acres? They were contacted by 83,333 different inquiries. We have 21 of those missionaries, and you know how many people accepted Christ in the first 6 months through the work and email work of our global media outreach missionaries? 10,750. It's amazing. And some of our GMO, Global Media Outreach Missionaries, are here today. Any of you in this service, stand up if you are. Any of our GMO missionaries? Look, those are missionaries, and they're working online to lead people to Jesus. And you can do that too. I tell you, it's an amazing world that we live in, that you don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to Africa. Just go to your computer. And if you want to know how you can become a GMO, Global Media Outreach Missionary, just contact our missions office. And they are awful. They're not really. You know, it all boils down to just starting to care for a world that doesn't have Jesus. Does it break your heart? Does it break your heart? Has it ever broken your heart? I'm sorry. It breaks my heart every time I think about it. You know, one of the world famous missionaries, and you know, our modern mission movement's only about 150 years old, and you've heard of the great names like William Carey. Another great name was Robert Moffat, who was a missionary to Africa from Scotland, and then in the late 1800s, he traveled all the way back to Africa to a church in Scotland to try to find more people to be missionaries. And it was very bad weather in this church in Scotland. And when he arrived, no men were in the congregation, only women. And at that time, the church would not send single women. So he thought, I've wasted my time. But he decided to give his message that night in this church in Scotland anyway. And in the process of his message, this is what he said, a famous statement. Every morning when I get up and look at the horizon, I see the smoke from 1,000 villages where the name of Christ has never been heard. What he did not know is there was one teenage boy there out of sight. He was up in the organ chamber. His job was to pump the organ bellows, and he was there and he heard this statement by Robert Moffat. And as a teenager, he said, I'm going to go to Africa. His name, David Livingstone. And there, the missionary David Livingstone traversed the entire continent of Africa, taking the gospel. And he so immersed himself into Africa that he became lost. And later, there was a famous explorer by the name of Henry Stanley who was sent to try to find David Livingstone in the darks of Africa. And when he finally arrived and he found him, his only white guy he'd seen for months and months. And he said with perfect British understatement, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. Henry Stanley was not a Christian, but did you know, even without trying, David Livingstone led this secular journalist to faith in Jesus Christ. God is doing amazing things around the world. And I just want to read you about one thing that actually happened. I want to read it because I don't want to get the details wrong. This is from the Jesus Film Project. This is what happened when they showed the Jesus film in a mountainous village where Christianity is illegal. There were 250 villagers who packed the community center. They closed the windows and the curtains for security. They put the DVD in and they watched it on a television that was there. Everyone stayed to the end of the movie, and when it came time for the leaders to give the invitation to accept Christ, a man stood up and opened his coat so that everyone could see. Strapped to his chest were explosives. He was a suicide bomber. Panic set in. But the suicide bomber said, wait, don't leave. I'm not going to blow myself up. I need to tell you what happened. It took several minutes for the crowd to settle down, and he continued, I heard that you were going to show this blasphemous film. So I went to my leaders and they agreed that you should die. I strapped on this bomb and came to kill you all. After a few minutes into the movie, I reached for the detonator and tried to push the button, but as I watched the TV, Jesus turned to me and pointed right at me. He called my name and said loudly, don't do that. Follow me. He spoke in my own dialect. Over and over, I tried. Every time I reached for the button, he pointed to me and said, don't do that. Follow me. My hand froze every time. I couldn't move my thumb. I gave up and just stayed to watch. Now I believe. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Can you help me to know more about him? The missionaries assured them they could, but first he had to take off the suicide vest. He left the building and took it to a safe distance away and returned. The team prayed with him. But that's not all. Remember, this is an extremely dangerous area, intensely hostile to Christianity. Anyone leaving their religious traditions can be expected to be killed, yet the message of Jesus Christ spoke to these people. When the team leader asked who wanted to receive Christ, everyone did. All of them. The next day, the team held a service where 250 believers were baptized, including the man with the suicide vest. Our God is a mighty God, and he's at work winning the nations to himself. What's going to be your part in that? Father, thank you that you have sent us to the nations with the best news the world has ever heard. Thank you for allowing us to partner with you on reaching the gospel, taking the gospel to those who've never heard. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.